morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and thanks to our webmasters at studiox.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day in our, I guess you would call it, winter-spring fun drive, and we are here on the Radio Cafe to ask you, as we do just a few times a year, to make a donation to support KSFR. It's very easy to do, and we really need it in order to stay on the air. We are a truly listener-supported public radio station, and we need you to call 428-1393 in order to keep the Radio Cafe on the air. It's just basically as simple as that. We have Linda Siegel with us, and we're going to talk about public radio, and then we're going to do a legislative wrap-up. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning.
Thanks for asking me to be here today on the first day of raising money for this great radio station.
Yes, indeed. You are not only a longtime contributor to the Radio Cafe, you are a longtime public radio supporter and fan.
Oh, absolutely. When, you know, being on the Santa Fe Community College Board years ago, there was talk of shutting down the radio station because it just costs so much to operate. And that's when we found the Northern New Mexico
Radio Foundation
to kind of take it over. And you all have done just an incredibly fabulous job, and we're so glad you're here. And the college gets the benefit of being able to come on and talk about our programs, and then you just have provided this incredible public radio station.
428-1393 is the number to support it, and we have a $1,500 goal for this hour. So anybody who's listening who loves Linda Siegel, loves the legislative update, and who loves KSFR, please give a call right now. Support KSFR, support the Radio Cafe, support the legislative update, 428-1393. And when you call, we are happy to read your name on the air to say thank you. We're also happy not to, if you want to be anonymous. And we also have had many people who have given donations in the name of their favorite animal, a loved one, or in this case, you can do a beloved political figure of New Mexico. 428-1393 is the number, and like I said, we have a $1,500 goal for this hour, and I'm always looking to see whether people really support the Radio Cafe. So that's always what I'd like to know. It's like, you listen, do you support it? Come on, please give a call.
Well, I hope Liz DeFanix will call in today, since she loves Linda Siegel, and give a pledge, a donation.
Yes, and all of our families, friends, and people. There are people who write to me. I did a show yesterday on death and dying, and I wasn't sure whether it would be a downer, and a number of people wrote and said that they liked the show, and so that's what you live for, is when people really respond.
Oh, absolutely. And people just stop me all the time and say thank you for being on Mary Charlotte's show and talking about the legislature, because you make it understandable, and so I'm so glad to hear that.
428-1393 is the number. The phone has started ringing. Let's get our $1,500 goal for this hour. We've got plenty of time to do it, and it'll just take a handful of phone calls to do that. Let's see, $115 pledges, $150 pledges, anything in between.
There you go.
Or more. 428-1393. Linda Siegel, we are here to do what we call the legislative wrap-up, in which we talk about what actually happened during this 30-day session, and is it going to go on to more sessioning?
Oh, well, it might be. And remember, we do this wrap-up like 3 weeks after the session ends, because the governor has 20 days after the session ends to sign or veto all the bills that got to her desk within the last 3 days. And she was still signing and vetoing bills yesterday. So we had over 1,000 bills, memorials, and constitutional amendments introduced, And memorials, we've talked about those. Those really don't have force of law, but out of that 1,000, about 230 were memorials, and the rest were really substantive bills. And out of those substantive bills, she signed 92 of them.
Out of how many?
Out of, about, say, 780 actual bills.
And so all the rest were essentially vetoed?
Oh, no, they just didn't pass.
Oh, okay.
She signed 92 of them, and she vetoed 9 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So only, 101 bills actually passed.
So what passed and what got vetoed?
Well, the important piece of legislation, as we always talk about, that must be passed every legislative session is our budget, and we call that House Bill 2. And that budget this year was really hard to do because our revenues were down. And we talked about how natural gas and oil revenues were down because the prices have dramatically declined.
Yeah.
In the middle of the legislative session, oil was down to as low as $24 a barrel. And now it's back up to about $37, which is good for New Mexico, bad for the consumer. But the legislators, the finance committees particularly, had a really tough time figuring out what they were going to do. And so we ended up with a budget that is actually $7 million less, essentially flat, from the last year's budget. And there were a number of cuts. They do this thing called sanding, which means they just take the whole big budget, or the most of the programs in the budget, and they just cut, in this instance, 0.25%. 0.25%. So that sounds like very little money.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a $6 billion budget, that can be quite a bit. So they cut that off. They shaved, they sanded that off, so that helped them for the next budget. And then they also, as we talked about, raided all the cash balances of anybody who had cash, licensing boards, departments, to the tune of $180 million or so. And they did that to shore up the budget. And then additionally, that was for the next year's budget,
mm-hmm.
so that they took that money and for the next year's budget. And then what they did in this year's budget, and they just did this last week, they cut $31 million out of this year's budget, about 0.6% out of every department. So that means in the last 4 months, and really it's the last 3 months of this fiscal year, agencies are having to cut 0.6% out of their budget, or a total of $31 million. So that is very difficult, but we just didn't have enough money in this fiscal year to pay for that.
Right, and they weren't willing to consider a one penny a gallon on gasoline, which is already so cheap.
Right.
And they could, the thing about that is they can always do a gas tax that cuts off when the price of gas actually goes up.
Absolutely. We call that sunsetting or delayed repeal, where you say, okay, when we're going to raise it 2 cents, and then when gas hits, $50 a barrel, we'll just get rid of it.
Yeah.
But that would be a tax increase, and that is not allowed in this administration. So no new taxes, and our budgets are flat. And talking about special session, we might have to have one. Who knows?
So the special session would be to do what?
The special session would be if it looks like the revenue is even worse than projected in the budget. And we won't know that for several months. So that could be something happening in the summer or the fall. Now, oil is on its way up. Good thing. And we'll see if that holds.
Very interesting. You are listening to the Radio Cafe, and the phone started to ring, so we love the sound of that phone ringing, and let's keep it going. The number is 428-1382, I think that's a different number, 428-1393 here in the 505 area code, and what we're doing is we're just asking you to help us reach a $1,500 goal for this hour. 428-1393 and support, support Linda Siegel. How many years have we had you on? I wish I could remember, because My archives only go back so long, and I think you were here before...
Maybe 10? Could it be that much?
It could be that much, and we've had different configurations. There was a period when I was doing the show live every day from the baking company. Sometimes I pre-record now, but I was live every single day, and you came... Was it every day, or was it 3 days a week?
I think it was several days a week, yeah.
Okay, I think it was three... I think it was like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday... you would show up at the baking company for a few minutes, and then we've been changing the how it works and whether it's a 60 or 30 day session, and so now we do it on Fridays, which is like a wrap up of the week. Which has been good.
Yeah, and you know, before that, I remember I tried to do this like 3 minute recap that I would do. I think it was more than once a week, and I would call in and record it.
Yeah,
and that proved to be very difficult for me because it's not easy to just come up with 3 minutes, and I would have to write it all out and I'd have to review everything.
Right.
So I would spend 3 hours writing my 3 minute thing. And so this way it works better. I just sort of outline what was most important for the week and we talk about it.
428-1393. If you appreciate the legislative update with Linda Siegel, please call and make a contribution of any size. We've had people making contributions of a few dollars, of a few $100s, and it's all good. I mean, whatever people can give, when they give within their means. Sometimes we have a kid coming up, like a school child will actually come into the baking company with a few dollars.
Right.
One kid used to bring in his allowance. He's in college now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how important public radio, our Santa Fe public radio, is.
428-1393, and we have a $1,500 goal for this hour. And if you like what you hear, you know, it's only a couple of times a year that we ask you to support it. It's non-commercial public radio. We have a few what are called underwriting announcements, but we really keep the airwaves free for content of substance, whether it be our talk and news content or whether it be our music content. It is all for you, the listener, and we work very hard to bring it to you. And we don't, you know, charge a subscription because that's not the way it works. It's not cable. It's radio, which is free, and the podcasts are free too. And it takes a lot to produce them. So 428-1393 is the number. Make a contribution in your own name or anonymously or in anybody's name that you want to. And if you do want to mention your favorite New Mexico political figure or perhaps presidential candidate.
There you go.
You can do so. And we'll read them aloud. Have a little informal, like, pulse-taking of where people are at right now. 428-1393. So let's go back to the legislature and what happened during this session. Capital outlay was one of the topics that we talk about and do talk about all the time. And that is something where there was some talk of reform of how that works this year.
Right.
First of all, capital outlay, ladies and gentlemen, is what we fondly call pork, which is the money that legislators get to bring home to their districts.
Right. And statewide projects.
And statewide projects. What's a statewide project?
Well, a statewide project might be, we would consider it something like... a big project like building something at a university, water systems that are regional. Those are considered the big projects that take a lot of money, that take millions of dollars,
and serve a
larger number of people. And then we have our local projects. And you're right; it's been somewhat controversial. It's been controversial actually for years about how we do capital outlay in New Mexico. And there's two types of capital outlay. There's the GO bonds and the general obligation bonds, which have to be, those are big projects, and they have to be approved by numerous different government agencies. They go into a bill in the legislature, have to get passed, signed or vetoed by the governor, and then go on the ballot. And this year that was about $175 million of GO bonds. And then there's the severance tax capital outlay, severance tax bonds, which comes from the gas and oil and other extractive industries, and that's about $166 million. And so the controversy has been, how do we, like, vet these projects? The geo bonds are very closely vetted, but the severance tax bonds, which are the where you can get local money, those are not really vetted. They're vetted by the legislature, in essence. And so that's where the issue comes in about why aren't we spending a larger percentage on statewide projects. And this year we only spent 33% of that $166 million on statewide projects. And in 2013 we spent 53%. And in 2010 we spent 69%. So we have to look at how to, you know, balance that, because pork projects in your community are very important.
Now, wait a minute. Why has the percentage of statewide projects gone down so much?
Well, there's many factors, politics, perceived needs in the local communities. And so I think this is an anomaly to be this low, only 33%, and
okay.
I'm sure next time it'll be back up. But I agree that we need some kind of balance between the two. And there were pieces of legislation to require transparency, that the legislators tell everyone how much they spent on their local projects, on their projects, period. Because as we've talked about, every legislator gets a pot of money out of the severance tax bonds. And they get to spend that how they want. They can contribute to the bigger projects, like our delegation in Santa Fe. They all put some money in and gave $800,000 to the Santa Fe Airport. Well, that's really great, because that way we can get the upgrades that we need over there.
That airport that used to be run by the cat who slept in front of it.
Well, it's spiffed up now and going to be even more spiffed up. So local people can do that, and then they also give, like in Santa Fe, to the public schools, to the community college, to the city, and to the county. But I don't think we can totally get rid of that important piece, because so many good projects come from the local legislators being able to give locally.
Right, and if there were a different way of prioritizing projects, the local ones might fall through the cracks,
right.
And how would you keep those funded? At the same time, and of course these are the ones that get on the news reports, not the ones that are successful, but there are some real boondoggles that happen where money is spent, a project is half completed, or
right.
It turns out that a building is bought that is no good and has to be condemned, and our taxpayers just spent the money on that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, taxpayers care about both sides of it. Has anybody come up with, I mean, I know Think New Mexico has been working on a kind of statewide prioritization.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include ways to keep those local projects going?
You know, actually, I am not sure. I know that bill did fail, as did the transparency bill that would just say you have to reveal what you gave.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I think that's the part of the problem is the legislators don't really like outside groups coming in and saying, you need to do this. They need to feel like they developed it on their own. So I'm hoping that that pressure is there for them to come up with their own way of doing this. I mean, this is how it's been going on for years and years and years. That doesn't make it right. And we do need to make some changes, and they need to come from the legislature. Now, part of the problem is that Tim Keller, our state auditor, found $4.5 billion that hadn't been spent, and about $1.2 billion were in incomplete capital outlay projects that haven't been done. And some of them haven't been done because there hasn't been enough money to finish the project. But the biggest problem is the bureaucracy in trying to get these projects done. I've talked to people who said, you know, we apply to get that money from the state that we've been authorized, and it takes sometimes a year to extract that money from the government department that has control of it. So we need to, it's not just the legislature's fault that money is sitting there. It's the administration's fault that we're not pushing that money out and getting it into actual projects that provide jobs.
That's very interesting. I'm just going to take a very quick break and say the number for the KSFR fund drive is 428-1393. We're delighted that the phones have been ringing. Want to keep them ringing. 428-1393. And we've got some thank yous, and we'll be back with that in just a moment. But I wanted to say, I mean, this it's what people call, you know, bureaucracy, red tape.
Right.
And it's very difficult. I mean, it's almost easier when you've got, for example, a building that is a complete mess and it's not working, just wreck it and start all
right,
over again.
Right.
But you can't do that with bureaucracies. You can't just like knock the whole building down and fire everybody and start all over again and rehire everybody, which might make the whole process more efficient, but you can't do it. And
right,
how you fix that is an organizational challenge that very few people have answers to, that I've found.
Yeah, and the, I mean, there's a reason that you want to have some level of bureaucracy to make sure that the project has been bid out correctly and that they're doing it right, they're doing their environmental reviews or whatever it is that they have to do. But it seems like that we are imploding under our bureaucracy because
yeah,
it's just not working for us.
So that is a challenge, and if any of you know how to solve that challenge, please write to radiocafe@ksfr.org, and we will get it to the proper channels.
All
I'm
right,
not kidding, because this is something, I mean, even in our own lives, have you ever looked at your own home office and said, what a mess?
I'd rather not, yeah. I have legislative papers piled everywhere.
And multiply that by a state
yes,
of 2 million people.
Right, right, absolutely.
It's tricky business.
Yeah.
428-1393. We're going to go to the control room now, where Nick is standing by with some thank yous.
I'm standing by with some thank yous. How do you know that?
I intuited it. I'm very psychic.
That's why we worked together. We worked together so many years.
There
Liz
we have
Stefanix, thank you.
Yay!
Teresa.
Thank you, Liz.
Teresa, thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Oisa Dry.
What, say it again?
Oisa Dry.
Thank you very much.
She says, thank you for the Radio Cafe and Linda Siegel's advocacy on Occupy.
Yay.
All right.
And we want to thank Willow Powers.
Thank you very much.
We want to thank Diane, who says that KSFR is the crown jewel in the crown of public radio in the Southwest, and Mary Charlotte is the crown jewel in the crown of KSFR.
Yay! Absolutely. Thank you, Diane.
That's a lot of crowns.
A lot of crowns, a lot of jewels.
You're a queen.
Good this morning. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Thalia Venerable.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Rita Maziami, who supports Bernie Sanders.
All right. 428-1393. Good. So we got some political. We got some. You don't forget to say who your favorite political candidate is when you call in and make your contribution, whether it be a New Mexico public figure or a presidential candidate or anything else like that. I always like to hear what people are into and why. It's been such an interesting presidential season.
Yeah, indeed. So what's our total now?
Oh, we are getting there, but we have not yet reached our $1,500 goal for this hour. So let's keep the phones ringing. 428-1393. People have been very generous and very wonderful, but we definitely want to reach our goal and keep it going for the rest of this. We've got a half an hour left, basically. And actually, we're going to hear, why don't we hear a little spot from one of our underwriters, and we'll be right back. And we're back with Linda Siegel doing the legislative update. And so, anything else to say on capital outlay?
I did want to say a couple other things, that in the severance tax capital outlay, that $166 million, the governor did veto every project under $10,000.
Why?
Well, it's because she said, she wrote this whole seven-page prelude in her message of vetoing certain things in the capital outlay bill, about the problems we were just talking about, that we don't do statewide planning, that there's too many pork projects, that these aren't really going to develop jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And so these little $10,000 projects, she said, you know, they're not going to help anything, and so she vetoed them.
Do you know what would be some examples
of
those?
Well, some of them were things in the schools where You know, they ask for a whiteboard or something. Not in Santa Fe. We had really good projects in Santa Fe. But little minor things that just, you know, you could probably get them out of your general operating fund, okay, or you could go without them. So, I mean, I think that's a
legitimate thing. Or you could have a bake sale.
There you go. But then in the GO bonds, she vetoed $8 million from UNM Health Sciences Center because they wanted to stand up a new program in Rio Rancho. And the thing that happened there is they didn't get approval from the Higher Education Department and the Department of Finance Administration, et cetera. So that got vetoed.
But that'll probably be back.
That'll be back, and maybe it'll get approved in the future.
Yeah.
Now, GO bonds are only every 2 years.
And what does GO stand for?
General obligation bonds.
Okay, that's
and
right.
That's what we'll be voting on in November. So there's a lot of good projects in that $175 million that go to universities and colleges. The community college has $1.5 million in there. That's where you get some of your statewide water projects and some that's all big stuff in the GO bond. So everybody vote for that. And it
so
doesn't raise your taxes because it's at the amount that keeps it the same.
So come November, when we'll probably be talking about the elections on this show as well, come November, vote yes on the bonds.
Yes, absolutely.
Says Linda Siegel.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about bills that passed.
Well, there's, you know, we always hit the highlights, the really controversial bills or the bills that have a high level of emotional feeling with them. And so some of those, you know, we passed the driver's license bill, which was
which
very
means we're
important.
Not going to hear about driver's licenses again for
Thank
a while.
Thank God, yes. It's done, and it was a pretty decent compromise. I'd prefer that we'd call it a driver's license instead of a driving authorization card for those of us who don't want real IDs and the undocumented people, but
guess what? I'm going to get a driving authorization card when the time comes. Does that mean that I just got my new license. Does that mean it's going to suddenly expire and we have to redo it? Or
at some point, I can't remember what the legislation said, but we all have to switch over our current driver's license to either one, and I think it might be 2018. We either have to get the real ID or we have to get the other one, and
okay,
we'll have to see. So
yeah.
Another hot one was the Assisted Outpatient Treatment Act, and that was controversial because it really does take away people's civil rights, and that's a piece of legislation that she only signed yesterday, I think, or the day before. And what that says is that if you have a mental illness and you're behaving in an unsafe manner to yourself or others, that the state can come in and you take you to court, you have an evaluation, psychological evaluation, and that you can be told and mandated that you have to take medication.
Right.
It's taken a few years to pass, and that's because there's been some resistance to it, and there are better protections in it than when the bill first started. But it's, you know, that's a...
Protections of whom?
Of the person who would
patient.
Be told that they have to take drugs.
So what do they do? They show up at your house and watch you swallow your pills?
Well, that's the issue around it. You can tell somebody, the judge can say to you, okay, you got to take this medication, but then who is actually going to make you do it? It's
especially getting people to take medicine they don't want to take is
right,
tricky
right.
business.
Are we going to put them in the hospital and make
tie them down
it?
And
yeah.
put it, no.
Yeah. It's a tough issue from both perspectives.
Yeah, very much so.
Then we had some like really boring legislation to most people. We had amendments to the uniform laws related to trust and probate and the powers of appointment in the probate code. And there's you know a lot of bills that pass that we don't pay much attention to because you know they're not sexy. We passed a bill to allow the spaceport to get a liquor license. I mean, who knew about that? And frankly, who cares about that? But I mean, clearly the spaceport.
The people who want to go into space after having had a little
Well, I guess it'll be a revenue generator down at the spaceport.
You know, some bills like that one, whatever. But, you know, some of those changes to the probate laws and things like that are actually, if you get into them,
they're important.
They're important.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
They're important in the way that having the wiring in your house work.
Yes.
Is
good
important.
Analogy, yeah.
You know, you don't ever look at your wiring, but when it breaks and your light bulbs burn out or pop or whatever, you know that something is wrong.
Yeah, they're definitely important. They're just not the ones that get a lot of attention. One pass that would do emergency, that would change the laws about emergency placement for kids that are taken from their family, that you have to get background checks for anybody who's going to get a child to take care of, and like another family member, because just because they're a family member doesn't mean that they're not a pedophile. So, you know, passing things like that. Let's see, some other hot ones. The ones I think we talked a little bit about, the opioids, the laws that say now that healthcare providers that prescribe opioids, they've got to check this monitoring system within the Pharmacy Act to make sure that the patient that's coming to them isn't going to five different prescribers and getting the same amount of drugs. And you got to check that every 3 months. And also making...
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a very good one. And making it more accessible for the opioid antagonists like naloxone and Narcan, so that if you are dead essentially because you have an overdose, that can be administered to you by anybody who can get it to help bring you back to life. And another good one, the brain injury, the possible brain injury for student athletes. That you have to, if a person is injured on the football field or wherever, that they have to sit out for so many days to make sure they don't have a brain injury. You know, these seem like common sense things.
Yeah, the fact that you have to legislate that says something about our coaches and our competitive system. But anyway, that's good it passed.
Possibly.
We're going to take just a second to tell people that the phones are not ringing right
now.
Oh,
no. Come on. Call. KSFR, Mary Charlotte.
428-1393 is the number. And I think we were starting to reach our $1,500 goal for this hour, and then the phones got a little quiet. That's okay, but no, it's not okay. Please call 428-1393, because public radio only comes to you through listener support. It's why we're not commercial radio. It's why you don't hear loud and obnoxious ads. It's why you don't hear ads for, you know, 15 to 20 minutes out of every hour, which sometimes you do on you know, commercial radio or late night TV and things like that. Even you can't even get a YouTube right now without getting an ad first. And here on KSFR, you don't get ads. You get a few little announcements, and all the rest of it is public radio for you. I work very hard to do the Radio Cafe, and it's incredibly gratifying and it's just wonderful when people give a call and say, yes, we support this show. So if you can do that and support this show, support the Radio Cafe, support Linda Siegel's legislative update, that would be so awesome. 428-1393 is the number. You just make a quick call. You can make an anonymous donation. You can get a thank you. And don't forget to name who your favorite political figure is or favorite political candidate. It can be historical, too. I mean, some people have a favorite 19th century American statesman or president or whatever. 428-1393 is the number. And give a call and please support this show. And I think we've got a couple of thank yous.
We do indeed. We want to thank, again, Marion Seymour, and she got some more friends together, Kathy and Laurel, in support of Liz Stefanik's campaign for state senate.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
And Nate Downey. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nate. Oops.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And I just want to say, Mary Charlotte, I think I'm so impressed at the breadth of what you do on your show. You just have so many different topics of, yeah. and issues that you, and every single time you research them, so you have the, all the right questions to ask when people come on different issues, and that takes so much time, and your dedication to KSFR is just exemplary, and I want to thank you, and it's such a pleasure to come on your show and talk about these issues that I have.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate your saying that. Yeah, we work hard, and it's worth it. And we just hope that it's worth it to our listeners, too. That's 'cause if you don't, you know, I could be doing interviews into the void, and it would be very unsatisfying. It's the fact that there's a transaction, that people are really listening. That's what makes doing this kind of work worthwhile. 428-1393, I think the phones are starting to ring, so we like the sound of that phone thing. Let's go back to the legislative, what are we calling it, recap?
Yeah. Wrap up, yes. Well, here's another example of a piece of legislation that passed. You know, we are a private entity in conjunction with New Mexico State University in Las Cruces is developing an osteopathic school. So a bill passed to allow for student loans to that school, and that's very interesting because this osteopathic school, even though it's in collaboration with New Mexico State, is a private for-profit school.
Oh, dear.
And the fact that we've now created, we didn't put any money in it, but we created the structure for possible loans for those students. And, of course, we do have a primary care provider shortage in our state.
Well, yeah, so you're providing loans so that people can go there and then...
Hopefully stay in New Mexico.
And stay in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Is it tied to that? You can get a loan if you're going to stay in New Mexico?
Well, the rules will have to be developed for that. But hopefully, yes. I mean, most of our loan programs are you have to come to New Mexico and serve for so many years, or if you are a New Mexican, you can get and stay, you can get some loan forgiveness. Also, drinking water revolving loan fund, that's a positive thing because those of us who live in the rural counties, you know, we never know if our wells are going to go dry and we need some local and regional loan funds for water. Protective orders for rape victims, that bill passed and was signed so that if someone's been raped, they can get a long-term protective order against that person.
Nice.
And then the...
Because normally restraining orders or those kinds of orders
expire at certain times, yep.
And have we? I'm sure we've had enough sort of horrible cases that make this new law necessary.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, one thing that was in the budget for $1.2 million was to actually, we have years and years of rape kits that have not been analyzed. They're just sitting there in an office in government. And so there's money now to go back and try to analyze those, see what the DNA is on them, and perhaps pick up some rapists. Who knows?
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, Lord knows there have been people who've gone to jail for rape who didn't do it because the DNA wasn't there.
Right.
And there was that famous case of the guy who was exonerated after many years because the DNA evidence thing had actually been invented. They went back to the evidence from many years earlier, and it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's important in every direction.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got a couple of thank yous, and Nick is standing by.
Here we go. Betty Churn, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Betty.
And Lisa Messiah.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Lisa.
And Deborah Anderson.
Thank you all.
Thanks,
we are creeping up on our $1,500 goal for this hour. We still need the phones to ring a bunch more times in order to get to that goal and in order to be happy that people are listening and that they're supporting. And 428-1393 is the number. It's the 505 area code. There's also a toll-free number, which is 1-866-907-5737. That's 1-866-9... It's not. Nick is telling me what it is. Oh, we don't have the toll-free number anymore. I just got that message.
Forget that. Wow.
Forget that. Well, because there's not that many people who are calling. There's not that many people who don't have cell phones, and cell phones, it's a non-issue, the toll-free.
That's true.
Okay, so the number is 428-1393, 428-1393, in the 505 area code. You can also, of course, pledge online at KSFR.org, KSFR.org, and you can just hit the pledge button. But it's always nice if you pledge by phone, because then we know that yes. you have been listening. 428-1393. Okay, keep going.
Okay. All right, here's another good one, that allowing 17-year-olds to vote in the primary if they're going to be 18 by the general election.
Okay.
That got passed and was signed. That's a really good one. The
That includes not just presidential elections, but midterm, school board, everything else.
Anything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, primary, it wouldn't really apply to school board, community college, that sorts of things, or municipal.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is a good example of something that happens at the legislature. We had a bill that, what happens is we introduce all these dummy bills, and they're bills that have numbers, but they have no content.
Right.
And we call them dummy bills. And so what you can do with a dummy bill, if it's after the midpoint of the session and you can't introduce any new legislation, but something comes up, you can drop that legislation into a dummy bill and pass it. And this is a very important dummy bill that passed, because we knew that the public school budget was getting, it essentially got cut, even though they got a little more money, but it got cut because of the sanding, and because the fact that expenses increase and they didn't get much of an increase. So a bill was introduced by Senator Stewart that would allow flexibility for 3 years for school districts to have some flexibility in class sizes and other issues, because we have class size requirements. But when you don't have enough money, you may want to add 3 or 4 more children to a class, and you can't legally do this. So this would allow the Public Education Department to grant certain waivers on issues like class size when you have budget cuts. And we did that during the recession. So that's a good bill. The governor signed it. The lottery tuition stuff, that was an important piece of legislation for colleges and universities to keep the lottery scholarship going. One bill that was vetoed was one by Senator Michael Sanchez, who is in great conflict with the governor, but it was to allow prizes that people hadn't claimed from the lottery to go into the scholarship fund, mm-hmm. and the governor did veto that. A Brittany Alert bill passed, and you know we have Amber Alerts and Silver Alerts, and now we have Brittany Alerts, and that's for developmentally disabled people if they disappear and we need to put an alert out on them.
Yeah.
So we had some really good pieces of legislation passed that don't get a lot of attention, and they're the ones that kind of keep government going. Of course, we had the Uber and Lyft bill, that's the two companies, it's called something else, but to really legalize that program to happen in the state of New Mexico, whereas the Public Regulation Commission said, we don't have any authority to regulate these people, and so now they have the authority and there are certain rules and requirements that those transportation companies have to follow.
Excellent, and that's an important thing, and as we've talked about on the Radio Cafe before, when you've got services like that, yeah, there's a county service, but when there's private services, it just is one more service that people can use to get home safely rather than drinking and driving.
Yeah, I mean, it's controversial because the taxi cab people have a lot more rules that they have to follow, but things are changing.
Things are changing. 428-1393 is the number. One thing that never changes is that we have public radio fund drives a few times a year. And that's something we have to do to stay on the air. We are so close to our goal.
Ooh.
And I'm confident that we will get there. The phones are ringing like crazy, and that's a beautiful thing to me. It's a beautiful sound. The number is 428-1393, and we want to thank everybody who has already given and thank in advance those who are calling now. And we have a few more thank yous.
That's right. Let's start off with a donation in the name of Judy Mayers.
All right. Thank you.
Nancy Savoy from Los Alamos Chiropractic thanks Linda Siegel for her advocacy of chiropractic.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Ginny, and thank you, Esha.
Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, this is a lovely morning, and I won't sing the songs from Oklahoma to demonstrate what a beautiful morning it is, because then you would never give.
Really? You'd never call back again.
You'd turn off the radio. 428-1393 is the number. Help us reach our $1,500 goal by the top of this hour, and I'm going to allow the phones to ring and for our goal to be reached, and come back after the news and see that we have reached it and what we're at, but going very well today so far, and thank you so much to the listeners of KSFR who make this beautiful station what it is. 428-1393. So let's keep going.
Okay.
We've got a few more minutes.
Well, let's talk just a minute about the vetoed bills. I said there were 9 bills that were vetoed. One of them was a pocket veto. And a pocket veto is where the governor doesn't veto it specifically by giving a message, I vetoed this bill because. She just, like, doesn't deal with it. And it was a bill that actually had a companion bill. And so the companion bill passed. It was an osteopathic scope of practice update. And so the companion bill passed, and she pocket vetoed the other bill. And that makes perfect sense, because there's no point in signing both of them. And then the only real, I think, controversial bill that she vetoed was an alternative school licensure bill for administrators. And that's a bill that's been introduced for a number of years to just sort of abbreviate the process that a person who may be a school teacher could go through to become an actual administrator. And the chair of the House Education Committee actually carried that bill, and it passed with some bipartisan support, but I'm not sure why. I didn't look at the message, but that bill was vetoed.
Hmm.
And then some of the other bills, one that was vetoed was creating a fund for interlock devices for indigent people. If you're poor, can you really afford to put that on? So that would have created a fund. That was vetoed. Creating a fund in the courts, in the administrative office of the courts, for language interpretation or sign language, that bill got vetoed. Doing a developmental disabled annual report got vetoed. These were not the hot button issues.
Yeah. All right. Well, so then some things got vetoed. And the whole session. How would you characterize this session? It didn't seem quite as contentious, maybe, as other sessions.
Well, I thought it really would be, and it kind of started out that way because the House, which is controlled by the Republicans, started passing out, like, within the first week and a half, all the crime bills to send them over to the Senate. And there is a lot of concern about those bills because some of them did pass. Some of them were amended in the Senate and passed and were signed. But that created a lot of tension because perhaps part of that was just to bring up the issue of Republicans are strong on crime, Democrats are weak on crime, which, of course, is not really true.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, right. So that created tension. And the fact that all 112 legislators are up for election in the primary in June and then November, that always creates tension because
there aren't staggered sessions for the senators?
Only the senators are elected every 4 years. So this is the year that senators get elected.
But it's not some...
It's not staggered,
off
no.
Year. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
No. So that's why all 112 are up now. And that creates tension because then everybody's watching their opponent to see how they're going to vote on this issue,
right,
and trying to, you know, document that so they can use it in campaign literature and things like that. So that made it... It was tense, but towards the end, there were compromises on the hot bills, like driver's licenses and some of the crime bills. So it wasn't so bad, but the budget was really the overall looming dark cloud.
Right, and that will be something we keep hearing about. 428-1393 is the number we hear. The phone's ringing. We're gonna come back after the news. We're gonna talk now until 9 o'clock, and then you will hear BBC News and local news, and then we will be back to see how we did. So please help us to reach our $1,500 goal for this hour by calling 428-1393. Support Linda Siegel. Support the Radio Cafe. Support KSFR. I have to say, I've learned so much from you, Linda, about this whole process and the legislative process, because if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, ladies and gentlemen, teach your children well. Take them down to the legislature. Have them at, you know, when they're in middle school or high school or even elementary school, if there's something the kid feels strongly about, talk to their legislators, because it's something that when you do it as a kid, you're going to do it your whole adult life. But many people don't go down to the state house or write those letters. And, you know, you learn so much from Linda Siegel. You know what? The music is going. Oh. We've got two more thank yous. What are the? Tell us those.
We want to thank Donald Stout.
Yay. Thanks,
and
Donald.
And Save Oaks.
Thank you very, very much. And we are going to, we've got just a minute and a half left. So, very quick answer to this. Let's say we have a Trump-Sanders or a Trump-Clinton election.
Mm-hmm.
How will that affect the New Mexico election?
Well, I think where it might affect it is all in turnout. And, you know, New Mexico is a Democratic state. We have more Democrats registered than elsewise. So, I think whoever is going to inspire the most number of votes. I mean, those are the, quote, two outsiders, as Bernie has been characterized as an outsider. So,
yeah.
I can't say.
All right. So we've got just 40 seconds left. So I want to thank everybody who's called so far. And you can keep calling all through the news to make your contribution to the Radio Cafe, to Linda Siegel. 428-1393. And those numbers will count. Linda Siegel, once again, thank you so much for all you do for the community and for KSFR.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's an honor to be on the show and be able to share this information with everybody.
Excellent. So we'll be back in just a moment. You can stay tuned for the BBC and local news by KSFR's fabulous news team. And keep those phones ringing, 428-1393.